ध्यायामोदबलावकुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्टिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्. या सो शंकरा लाइक वाइंड्स अप द टॉपिक ऑफ नाहम देहो ह्य सद्रूपो ज्ञानमुच्यते बुद्धैः एज टू व्हाट इज ज्ञानम व्हाट इज नॉलेज इन द 28th श्लोका. वी लर्न टिल द 27th श्लोका. सो It's the same topic with few more qualities of the Atman. Nirmalo nishchalo nantah shuddho hamajaro marah naham deho hyasadrupo jnanam ucchate buddhaih. So the same thing, naham deho hyasadrupo jnanam ucchate buddhaih. So naham deho hyasadrupo, the asadrupa deham, I am not. This is what like jnanis call as, wise people term as jnanam. Jnanam means the knowledge that I am not the body, but I am the Atman. Atman of what nature? Nirmalo. So the first word used is nirmalaha. Malam means like impurity. So it is the same. It has the same meaning, like that the Atman is pure. So it is without any impurity. Malam, we know that malam is like the waste that goes from our body is generally called as malam. But malam, the general meaning of malam is impurity. So nirmalaha, the Atman is pure. We know that we have already discussed as to why the Atman is pure. In brief, like the Atman is cannot have any samyogam because it is without any parts. It is nishkriyah. Since it is nishkriyah, but nishkalah, nishkalam. So it is without any parts. Since it is without any part, it cannot have any conjunction or association. Since it cannot have any contact with anything else, therefore there is malam or impurity is not possible in the Atman. So it is nirmalaha. And nishchalaha, the Atman is not, cannot move. Why can't the Atman move? The Atman cannot move because it is all pervasive. Space, like when we say like I am moving, I move from one place to another, I moved from India to United States. So when we say that, it is a displacement with respect to space, in space. But space in itself cannot move because space is all pervasive. Space is present everywhere, therefore it cannot move. So that which is present everywhere cannot move because any place it tries to move, everywhere it is already there. So it, no movement is possible for the Atman. Therefore the Atman is nishchalaha. That is one interpretation of nishchalaha, that it is all pervasive, therefore there is no place it can move. And the second interpretation is that the Atman is unchanging. Atman is stable. Atman is ever steady. Therefore it is called nishchalaha. It is immoving, means like it is, we say like we generally use the Laukika usage that, okay, he is like a stone. He is like stable, steady like a stone. He doesn't move. Though we use it in a negative sense that said this person doesn't have any heart because his heart is like a stone. It cannot move or melt or change. So nishchalaha also means stability. Stability means that it is ever in the same state. It is unchanging. It's unchanging. So when it is unchanging, then it also has to be blissful in nature. So, and it is anantaha. It is like infinite, unlimited. So, since the Atman is all pervasive, that which is present everywhere, that which cannot move, that has to be infinite, that has to be unlimited, because limitation is with respect to only three entities. When we say limitation, limitation is with respect to the three, we can say the adjuncts of either time or space or causation. So these are the three main three limitations of all entities. Any entity that we take in the world, a pot, for example, if we take a pot, that is limited by time, space and causation. So it is limited by in time. How it's limited in time? Because it is present only for a particular period of time. It is limited in space because it occupies only a particular space. It is limited by causation because it is something which is created, which is an effect. So therefore it is limited by it's limited because it is an effect. An effect is always temporary. It doesn't, like previously only the cause was there, then it was converted or transformed into the effect. So the effect is limited. So the Atman, with respect to time, the Atman is eternal, the Atman is always there. Atman was there in the past, Atman is there in the present, Atman will be there in the future. Therefore it is not limited by time. It is also not limited by space because it is all pervasive. It is also not limited by causation because it is not caused by anything. It is the uncaused cause of all beings. So Chinmayananda uses the term uncaused cause or first cause, primal cause. It is that cause of the entire world which is uncaused, which cannot be caused by anything else, because it is always there. So since the Atman is unlimited or not limited by this, the time, space and causation, the three entities that limit, three like factors that limit, limitations are impossible for the Atman, therefore it is Ananta. It is Anantam or infinite or unlimited. Shuddha, it is pure. So Shuddham is not with respect to purity, but Shuddham is generally used with respect to freedom. So Shuddha means that which is free. So the Atman is ever free because it doesn't have any contact with anything else. When it cannot have any contact with any other entity, then there is no bondage possible. Bondage is only when I myself am not bonded. I am bonded when I think about something or I get associated with something. So it is an external entity, association with an external entity, that causes bondage for me. And since the Atman cannot have association with any external entity, therefore there is no bondage possible for the Atman, therefore it is Shuddha. And Ajaha means like without any birth. So that we already know the Atman is ever existing, therefore it is Ajaha, it is without any birth. Amaraha. So Amaraha also like means that it doesn't have any death. So Ajaraha Amaraha, Ajaro Amaraha, Ajaro Maraha. So that means like it is, the word used is Ajaraha. Ajaha means like without any, Ajaha means like without any birth. So here it's like when both are mixed, like Ajaro Maraha, it's the same meaning that it is without any birth and death. So the Atman is Nirmalaha, it is pure. Nishchalaha, it is stable, it is not moving. Anantaha, it is infinite, it is Shuddha, it is pure. Ajaraha, Amaraha. So it is without any birth and death because it is always present. So that I am, Aham. That I am, like that Atman of which has the qualities of Nirmalaha, which is Nirmalaha, which is Nishchalaha, which is Anantaha, which is Shuddha, which is Ajaraha, which is Amaraha. And Naham Deho Hyasadrupo, I am not the Deham which is Asadrupam. This is what wise people call as Jnanam. So Jnanam is knowing that I am not the body, I am not the Deham which is Asadrupam, which is temporary, which is illusory, which is unreal. Whereas I am Brahmaivaham Samashantaha. So the qualities, if we enumerate, it becomes I am Brahman, of what nature? Samaha, Shantaha, Sachidananda, Nirvikara, Nirakaru, Niravadya, Avyayaha, Niramayaha, Nirabhasaha, Nirvikalpaha, Atataha, means all pervasive, Nirgunaha, Nishkriyaha, Nityaha, Nityamuktaha, Achyutaha, Nirmalaha, Nishchalaha, Anantaha, Shuddaha, Ajaru, Ajaraha, and Amaraha. So, these are like all these qualities of the Atman. If we are able to remember all these qualities of the Atman, then we will know that we are not. All these are like negate dukkam, negate bondage, negate bandham, negate dukkam, negate samsaram in the Atman, in me. That means I am Sachidananda Lakshanaha, I am of the nature of existence, consciousness and bliss. That means like when dukkam is negated from me and sukham is my nature, then I will always be happy. So there will be only anandam. So that is what is the goal of life. So such a person who has anandam is called a jivan mukta, or a person who has been liberated from the bondages of samsaram. Because I don't have any bondage, so through contemplation that I don't have any bondage, I am the Atman of this particular nature, we'll be able to slowly get over the bondage of Ajnanam that is there. And when the Ajnanam completely vanishes, then Jnanam dawns. When Jnanam is attained, a person like gains Paroksha Jnanam, and then continuously again he does contemplation, then it becomes his very natural state. When Jnanam becomes natural, when the Jnanam that I am the body, I am not the body and I am the Atman becomes natural, then such a person is ever blissful. That is what Vedanta calls as moksha. So Shankara till now like explained as to find, initially he explained about what is Ajnanam, that is Adhyasam or superimposition or mixing of the body and the Atman. And Jnanam is when a person knows that he is not the body and he is the Atman. So he continues. He continues now in the form of like advising the ignorant people as to why they are still in ignorance. Why are you still in ignorance? Why don't you come out of it? Swadehe shobanam santam purushakyam cha sammatam kim murka shunyam atmanam dehatitam karoshi bho. Yeah, swadehe shobanam santam purushakyam cha sammatam. So swadehe shobanam, that Atman which is living in the body. So Atmanam, in the second line, Atmanam means one's own Atman, which is Swadehe Shobanam. Shobanam means living or existing. So Swadehe Shobanam, that which is in the body, Santam Purushakyam Cha Sammatam, which is famous among people, known by people, known through the scriptures by people as Purushakyam. Santam Purushakyam, which is known by Santa Purush, Santa people or like Jnanis as Purusha, which is known as Purusha. Sammatam, so it is also like known or established. Sammatam means established, proved through Shruti, Yukti and Anubhavam, by like scriptures, by logic and by experience. Such an Atman, Kim Murka, oh ignorant fellow, oh Murkha. Murkha means like ignorant person. So oh Murkha, oh ignorant person, Atmanam, which is Deha Atitam, which is different from the Deha. So that Atmanam, that Atman, which is Swadehe Shobanam, which lives in the body, Santam Purushakyam Cha Sammatam, which is known as Purusha and is proved by Shruti, Yukti and Anubhavam, Deha Atitam, which is like different from the body. Why do you consider the Atman as Shunyam? Shunyam Karoshi Boho. Tell me why Shunyam Karoshi? Why do you consider that Atman as Shunyam? Shunyam means non-existent. So, though the Atman is clearly proved through the shastras, through pramanas, and it is clearly different from the body, yet, O ignorant person, why do you ignore the Atman? Why do you not consider the Atman? Why do you forget the Atman? This means like the Atman is a matter of experience. It's like an experience for all people that I, if a person like a person is able to analyze and find out as to what is I, what is this I, then he will surely find that it is different from the body. And so such an I which is like always present, which is like shouting at the top of its voice that I exist, yet, O ignorant person, why do you reject it? Why do you ignore it? That means ignorant people or worldly people who don't want moksha or not seeking moksha, they forget the Atman which is always present and which is clearly different from the body, yet they mix it with the body. So the moment a person negates the Atman from the body, he acknowledges Atman, that moment he is a real sadhaka, and that moment like it becomes clear that he will get moksha in this very birth itself. So like Shankara is telling that to all sadhakas, like making a call, like stressing the importance of jnanam, stressing the importance of the knowledge that I am not the body. So the any sadhaka has to first assert himself to be the Atman distinct from the body. That is when like he gets over ajnanam. So he will know that ajnanam is there, yet he'll be focusing on the Brahma Satyam, on the reality of that his very nature is Atman. And as long as a person doesn't acknowledge the Atman, his own nature of Atman as distinct from the body and the other koshas, the pancha koshas, then he'll not be able to benefit out of scriptural study, he'll not be able to gain peace, he'll not be able to gain contentment, he'll not be able to gain bliss that is like everlasting from the external world. So his life will be like daily doing the same activities, not having any peace in the mind, not knowing what he is seeking, going on seeking, yet without any end. So though Western like philosophers and like even worldly people might say that I know the goal of my life, the goal of my life is to marry, get children, then it doesn't end, it goes on and on and on. Desire is in order for man to come out of his ignorance and know that he is perfect. There is no use of desiring things like unless that desire can get you out of all desires. The basic desire in a person is to come out of all desire because he wants to be blissful. If he wants to be blissful and content, that means like desireless state. That desireless state is what everyone like knowingly or unknowingly seeks, and that desireless state can be attained only through jnanam, the jnanam that I am not the body but I am the Atman which is distinct from the body. This is the reason why like Shankara, other than like Shankara emphasizes on knowledge, and that even if we follow the path of bhakti or karma or any other path, yet jnanam is inevitable because ajnanam is the cause of all bondage. Like, no Ishvara, no God like Vishnu or Shiva or any avatara purusha can help us unless we remove the notion that I am the body and assert that I am the Atman. They may be able to help us for some time with worldly pleasures, but they'll not be able to give us eternal bliss until we assert ourselves to be the Atman distinct from the body. That is essential. Whether like we go to a Mahatma, we learn from a Mahatma, or we seek shelter under a Guru, or like do Ishvara Bhakti, we have lot of Ishvara Bhakti, yet we will not get eternal bliss without Jnanam. Even if we go to Vaikuntha or Kailasa, yet we will not get eternal bliss. We will not be able to get anandam without without jnanam. And that anandam, if a person learns the shastras in the proper way, then he will know that I don't need to go to any mahatmas. Why? Because anandam is in me. The only reason why I should go to a mahatma, go to an avatara purusha, go to a guru is in order to guide me in the right direction and help me when I have like environment or like worldly troubles, so that they don't pose an obstacle for my spiritual path. That is the only reason why a person would want to go to a avatara purusha. And when a person knows that ananda is in me, then he doesn't need to go to any place. He can like be in his own house, be inside his own like room, yet be blissful. That bliss which he may not even get in Vaikuntha or Kailasa. So that's the reason why like jnanam is very important. Jnanam is essential. Without jnanam, even like avatara purusha or mahatmas cannot save us. And Shankara is like here very strong by saying that, O murkha, O ignorant person, why do you ignore the Atman which is always there? Okay, like I am ignoring the Atman because I don't gain anything by knowing that I am the Atman. And I gain like worldly pleasures. I am happy with that. I am happy with my worldly pleasures. But if somebody says and argues like this, then they should know that worldly pleasures will not stay for long. There will be at some point of time, worldly pleasures will vanish and they will get converted or transformed into sorrow. At that time, people start running to Mahatma saying, okay, I need anandam, I need bliss. And then also like if a person still continues the same thing again and again, trying to get bliss from the temporary worldly objects, when bliss is his own very nature, there is no fool like that. So Yoga Vasishta like makes a very very strong statement, strong and bold statement, when it says that a person who like after knowing that worldly pleasures or sense objects will not give him pleasure but they'll give him only sorrow, yet he goes after them, then he is not a human being. He is not a manushya, he is not a nara, but nara, he is a gardabaha, he is a donkey. So like any person with some intellect will clearly understand and know that like worldly pleasures will not give him bliss, because that has been going on for lifelong, it has been going on. If worldly pleasures could give bliss, if money could give bliss, then Bill Gates will be the happiest person, which we know he is not. If power is like happiness, then George Bush would be the happiest person. Similar with all other fields, like whatever we can get from world, from the happiness that we can get from sense objects will not give us contentment, will not end our seeking. Our seekings can be ended only by jnanam, that knowledge that I am the Atman distinct from the body. So it is a matter, Shankara clearly says that a person clearly knows such an Atman that is like established as well. Established through Shruti, Yukti and Pramanam. Shruti, Yukti and Anubhavam. So it doesn't mean that the Shastras say, okay, I am the Atman, you are the Atman, you are not the body. It's not a mere statement, mere intellectual statement which only very few people can experience. It is a matter of experience. Any person who is bold enough to tread the path that the scriptures show, at least for some time, we have been spending like years and years going after worldly objects. We accept Newton's statement. We accept that 1 plus 1 is 2 when we don't know what is 1, who created 1. Yet we accept such like false statements, such statements blindly we believe. And if we don't, if we are able to like follow the scriptures blindly, at least for some time, then it's a matter of experience. We'll be able to experience bliss. So that is possible. And when that is possible, if a person still doesn't want it, either because like he is content with the world or he feels that this is not the right path, then such a person is an ignorant person. O Murkha, why do you ignore the Atman? So Shankara continues. Svatmanam shrunu murkatvam shrutya yuktya cha purusham dehatitam sadakaram sudurdasham pavadrishai. So it's again, O Murkha, shrunu tvam. O ignorant person, O Murkha, shrunu tvam. Tvam shrunu. Like, you listen. Listen, what do you want? What to listen? Srutya yuktya cha purusham swam atmanam. So, Srutya yuktya cha, like, listen, O Murkha, listen to my statement. What? Shrutya yuktya, through Shruti, through the scriptures, and yukti, yuktya, by yukti, purusham swam atmanam, the purusha which is swam atmanam, which is one's own self, deha titam, it is different, it is generally in Sanskrit grammar, atitam means beyond. But here, like, atitam means different or distinct. So, deha atitam, even as in the previous sloka. So, deha atitam. This Atman is different from the body, distinct from the body. And yet, it is not shunyam. It is not non-existent. Why? Sat akaram. It is of the nature of sat. How do we know it is the nature of sat? Because there is puranam. Always that I exist. And like, if a person says, okay, I exist is fine, but it is the body that exists, body I that exists, and it is not the Atman I, because I don't experience it. Such a person should analyze the three avastas, the Jagrat, Swapna and Sushupti avastas. In Jagrat avastha, we have the stula body. In Swapna avastha, we have a Sukshma body different from the Jagrat body. And in Sushupti avastha, we don't have a body at all. Yet, in all these states, I exist. So that I is or has to be different from the body. Yet it has to exist because it exists always. It exists in waking state, it exists in dream state, it exists in deep sleep. And since like we have a different body in waking and different body in dream, both negate each other. In the waking state there is no dream body, in the dreaming state there is no waking body. That means both negate each other. Both are asad. Yet I exist, that means I as different from the body, and the spuranam that I exist is always there. But we think that I exist, that I is the body, is associated with the body, which is not, because any person, like this is the simplest logic that a person can go through. So Balakrishnan Nair says that even a child will understand this logic, that I am different from the body and I am the Atman which is always there, ever present, all pervasive, which is the reality, whereas everything else is an illusion in it. So if a small child can understand, then if a person says I can't understand, then he is a murkha, he is an ignorant person. So sad akaram, it is not non-existent, but it is sat akaram, it is always of the nature of sat. Sudurdasham bhavad rishaihi. Bhavad rishaihi. People like you. Bhavad. For people like you, like for murkha, sudurdasham. Durdasham means like tough or difficult. Sudurdasham means very tough. So very tough for people like you to bhavad rishaihi, to realize. So though the Atman, O murkha, though the Atman is proved through Shruti and Yukti as distinct from the Deha and as Sadakaram, as Sad, as existence and not as Shunyam, yet it is very difficult for people like you to understand or realize. Why it is difficult for people like you? Because you don't even heed any words. You don't want to. It is a story of like Uddhava and the pig story. You would remember that. Like once Uddhava started asking and complaining to Krishna. We can have like once a person, a sadhaka starts learning, a sadhaka starts in the spiritual path, then the first thing that he would say, he would request to the guru is, O Guru, you have given me this knowledge, you have given me this great knowledge which has made life blissful for me. I am always rejoicing in bliss. Nandati nandati nandatyeva. I am always blissful. Wherever I am, whatever I am doing, I am blissful. So, but I see people suffering in the world. Why is it that you haven't given this jnanam, this bliss to everybody? Wouldn't it be great if you can give all jnanam to everyone? Because then they can also experience the bliss that I am experiencing. So that is the doubt, like a sadhaka who has just got knowledge and who is in the way to jivan mukti, because he has gained like anandam by atma jnanam, and he is like trying to make it be established in the atma jnanam, yet he sees the world, he sees people as suffering because of some traces of ignorance. Because a jnani will never be bothered about the world. So we can say Amma is doing service for the world. So doesn't that mean she considers the world as existing and the world as suffering? This, like, we have a Mahatma might speak in from different plane. So from Amma's heart, in one of the book titled From Amma's Heart, Amrita Swarupananda, Amma's main disciples, like quotes like Amma's reply to many questions of sadhakas as well as her own followers, shishyas. So in that she speaks from the plane of Ajatiwadan, saying that I know that the world doesn't exist, but I still do my action. What I have to do, I am doing, that's it. My role is to help people, so I am doing that. So a jnani, if we question the jnani, then the jnani will never say that the world is suffering. Like people of Mahatma Gandhi's followers went to meet Ramana Maharshi and they said, we need your blessing for the welfare of India. And they said, like, why don't you help people like Gandhi does? Then Ramana Maharshi said, why should I help? Then he said, don't you see people suffering? He said, no, I don't see people suffering. I see the world as being pervaded by Brahman, by blissful Brahman. So I see only Ananda. When I see only Anandam, how can I help? So that is the state, real state of a jnani, though he may say that, okay, I am serving the world, that is all from the empirical viewpoint. The real answer that a person will get from the jnani regarding world is that there is no world. Jagan, mithya, whatever is there, only Anandam. But a sadhaka who has got jnanam and he's like trying to be established in jnanam will think, okay, the world exists, I see the world, I see people are suffering, why don't you help? So there is a beautiful story in the in Mahabharata. In once, like, Krishna, Uddhava started asking to Krishna, oh Krishna, you have given me jnanam through Uddhava Gita and other places, why don't you give this to all the people? Why don't you give it to everybody? If you can give to everybody, then like they'll also be blissful. So Krishna said, oh Uddhava, you are not understanding. They are ignorant people. They don't want. I am willing. I am ready. Readily waiting for people to ask jnana. So Amma also says the same thing, that she is waiting for people to ask for moksha. But very few people ask for moksha. People ask for fame. People ask for money. People ask for cessation of like worldly sorrow. Yet they don't want moksha. Moksha, very few people ask. So Krishna replied, oh Uddhava, you are not understanding, nobody wants it. Then Uddhava said, oh, as if you are telling the truth. I know you are not telling the truth. Because nobody would want, like, if a person, like, I don't think like anybody would say that I don't want moksha. Everybody wants moksha. So everybody will want it. You are just lying. You are telling a lie. You don't want to give, that's why. So Krishna said, no, it's nothing like that. I am ready to give, but people, nobody wants it. Uddhava still was not convinced. So Krishna said, okay, if you are not convinced, just go out and then like speak to the first 10 people that you meet. 10 people, 10 beings, like whether it is animal or man, it doesn't matter. First 10 beings, like talk to them and then ask them whether they are willing for moksha. They want moksha. If all the 10 people say yes, then I will agree that everybody wants moksha. And bring them to me, I will give them moksha that very moment. Okay, though it's a sidetrack that like a Mahatma, if he says that I can give you moksha now, that is not true exactly, because a Mahatma can only guide you He will give you jnanam, and through that jnanam you will become eligible, you will get moksha. So he can't give directly moksha, because uddharet atmanatmanam, only the self can save, only the self, not anything else. But what happened was, like, Uddhava started, he said, okay, I'll start off. And Uddhava had a gift. During those days, people had like a lot of siddhis or powers. So Uddhava had the power to talk with animals. So the first being that he met on the way was a pig. So he asked the pig, he said, how are you? The pig said, hi Uddhava, how are you? And then Uddhava said, yeah, I'm just coming from Krishna. He said he'll give you moksha. He will take you to a place better than Swarga. He will give you moksha, he will give you anandam. Then the pig asked, oh, what is moksha? What is anandam? And he said, okay, it is a state wherein you don't want anything else. You will be blissful, you will be peaceful, you will be content, you will be satisfied. Then the pig said, oh, that is fine. I don't need all those things. Will I have filth there? Will I have lot of filth there because my family, my child, grandchildren, everybody, we all like filth, so we need filth to enjoy. So Uddhava said, filth, what are you talking? That is anandam, bliss, that is much greater than filth. Filth is something very temporary, which is of the world, which will be there today, it will go tomorrow. But anandam will always be there. And the pig said, oh, Uddhava, you get lost. I don't want that. I don't want anandam and all. If in the moksha avastha, I want get filth, I don't want that. Uddhava started to explain and tried to convince the pig. The pig said, I don't want to talk to you at all. You can go away. I don't want such a state. Uddhava then went back. And he didn't even wait to ask the next person. He just ran towards Krishna. He ran into Krishna and said, fell at his feet and said, oh Krishna, I accept now your statement that nobody wants moksha. You are willing to give, but nobody really wants moksha because they think that the world will give them happiness. So it is the same state here. So sudurdasham. So it is very tough for you to achieve because Atmajnanam or moksha is possible only when you have mokshatvam. The very first thing, only thing that a person, as per Balakrishna Nair and as per Shastras, the only thing that a person needs in life to get realization is the ardent desire, sincere desire for realization, for liberation. So unless a person has the desire for moksha, he will not be able to understand whatever the Shastra says, whichever way the Shastra says, whoever says, even if it is Amma who is showing lot of miracles, or even if it is Shiva or Vishnu themselves coming down and telling, they won't believe. So it is like the comedy or the comic that goes around, what will you do if Shiva or Vishnu come in front of you and ask to you? Then the first thing what will you ask with from them? Then the person answered, the first thing I'll ask is, from where did you get this dress? Because till now I haven't seen Ishvara, and nobody has seen Ishvara manifesting. Therefore, if Vishnu or Shiva comes in front of me, then I'll know for sure that they are some drama artist acting in some drama. So it is that kind of scenario. So, oh Murkha, you will not be able to understand this because you are ignorant, you are full of ignorance, you are like the pig which wants only filth. Even if a person offers Swarga to pig, it will make that place filthy. So it's the comedy which we know that once a person tried to put a pig, thought the pig is in a very bad state, very bad place, full of filth, full of smell and other things. So let me try to clean it and put it into a room. So the person took those pigs, three or four pigs, and then moved, washed them, made them pure, and then put them into a new room, which was clean and without anything. after one day when he went again, he saw that the place was like having a lot of filth. The pigs converted that place into a place with a lot of filth and other things, which the way they wanted it. So that is the state. What would happen, like, if for Ajnanis, they can never be made to believe the Atman, which is so clear, always experienced by all people as different from the body, as Ananda Rupam, yet Ajnanis will never be able to apprehend it, understand it, because they don't want it. Yeah, we'll stop here.